Big Talk Nation, welcome to a very special episode of the Big Talk Podcast with Chris and Greg. This is Chris.
This is Greg.
And in this episode, we will be taking on the new Judas Priest album.
Hell yeah.
Invincible Shield.
Love it.
Let's go.
Sounds good, man.
Right here, track one, Panic Attack. Love the intro right there. Reminds me of Turbo a little bit.
I was going to say the same thing, man.
What a way to kick off this album. This album just got released, what was it, on the 8th? I believe it was the 8th of March, just a short time ago. And I said, Greg, let's tackle this. He said, let's do it.
Let's do it. You know, I the first sounds of this thing, I thought the same thing. I go, what are they doing, like a Turbo feel now on this album again? Nothing like it. But it was just that intro that had a different sound to it. Had to stop, man.
Yeah. This album, to me, has a lot of elements of Judas Priest of the past. All good elements and lots, you know, some Painkiller elements. Slow it down a little bit, like some British Steel elements, maybe some other stuff from Point of Venture. Like, it just sounds like a lot of their stuff kind of all coming together in one album. I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, man. from beginning to end, it just totally got me. And, you know, to be honest, Chris, I really don't spend a lot of time on Judas Priest albums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear a couple and like, okay, I heard it once, I heard it twice. What were the hits? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this one, I've been putting some time into it, man, and a lot of songs, pretty much the whole album, I'm digging. I'm digging a lot, man.
Halford is in exquisite form on this album. He sounds like he hasn't missed a beat. At, what, 72 years old? His vocals are prime right now. They are so good. Isn't that?
I'm blown away on this, man.
You know, usually we have a chance to do a bunch of research. Listen to Rob. Listen to Halford right here, dude.
Yeah, dude, I'm with you, man.
We have a chance to do a lot of research. We get to do this for a couple weeks, listening. This album just came out. And, of course, you don't have much about what are these songs about. You don't have much about, you know, the history, the process, all this stuff about no tour yet, no nothing going on. So, basically, this is us just listening to the album and just telling you guys what we think. And I love it, dude. I love it, and I don't think any Priest fan should be disappointed at all.
Not at all. Definitely not at all, man.
Guitar playing's great. Everything's great. Just let's get that out of the way right now. Everything's great. I love it. Panic Attack. I mean, if you look at the lyrics, it kind of has, you know, it's like a modern day, I kind of feel like, you know, it's a song about, like, technology.
Yes,
and it's gonna take everything over. A panic attack. Everybody's gonna panic, kind of a thing. And I love it, dude.
Yeah,
I love it.
Definitely.
Do you feel like an underlying theme on the album at all? I know we've only gotten to song one, but do you feel any kind of underlying theme or concept or anything in this album at all? Or
no, I don't. I think maybe his writing on his lyrics were pretty modern of like today's society, because I think Rob always pulls his inspiration from what's going on in the world, or pretty much. And this one, he just kind of looked around and started feeling the thing. So I know they've had a few years to write this album, but it's ripping, man.
Listen to that double bass drum right there. Scott Travis just sounds like a beast.
I think these guys are at their form. I mean, we'll go to the next song, but I mean, you're right, dude. It's just ripping. And
let's go to the next song.
Okay,
track two, The Serpent and the King.
Okay, what I basically was gonna say was, you know, their previous album, which is Firepower, I thought was good.
Yeah,
I heard it and I was like, man, this is really good. This new guy taking over KK's spot, I go, I gotta give it to him, man. He has me. Him and Glenn Tipton are gelling together. And here I find out that on this album, Glenn is still writing all the songs on this. And I was blown away, because I know he has Parkinson's. And he's still writing some good stuff.
Yeah.
The other guitarist, was it Richie Falcon?
Faulkner.
Faulkner?
Richie Faulkner.
He's doing excellent.
Yeah.
And then the producer, which is what, Andy Snipe?
Sneep.
Sneep. He's the touring guitarist when Glenn, you know, really can't make a lot of the stuff. So he knows the band very well, and he produced the last album, Firepower. They juiced it up. They took it up to 11, Chris, for me on this one. The way they write, what I'm hearing musically, and what's blowing me away in my speakers. They still have the twin guitar. Lyrics, Halford is on point. Drums and bass, they're there. I'm loving this. Second song, this is Priest, man.
Love it. You know, the first time I heard this album, it came up, it popped up on my Spotify, you know.
Yeah.
Invincible Shield out. And I'm like, oh, dude, I got to listen to it. Let's go. So I went into it with zero expectations. I wasn't like, oh, my God, this better be good, or I've heard this is going to be good, or I've heard bad things. I don't even know if I really listened, you know, because they released like four singles before it came out. I didn't really listen to it much. But, man, as soon as I hit play, I was not disappointed. And I really like the second song, The Serpent, The King. It makes me think. This is where, for me, I feel this underlying, like, almost like a religious aspect or a good versus evil kind of a theme that runs through this album. And I haven't listened to enough to get if it's like a concept, like if there's a story here. But I think there might be something in there where there's something that's running through it. Maybe they had something in their frame of mind when they were writing this. I'm not really sure. I'm going to have to listen to it 10 or 20 more times.
I took it for this song, really. You're right. Good versus evil, black versus white, you know, just positive energy versus negative energy, stuff like that. It was like there's a balance between you can't have one without the other. So Serpent and the King, maybe that's what their balance was. But, dude, listen to them rip. Man, this is just killer.
Oh, yeah.
Killer. You got me, man. These guys, they're on point. I'm loving it, dude. Woo!
I do know that even though Glenn, like you had mentioned before, he does have Parkinson's disease. Just from reading through some of the interviews and stuff, he's got good days and bad days. But I know that there's a couple songs on here that he actually does play the solo.
Yeah.
I believe in the next track, Invincible Shield. I think Sons of Thunder and Vicious Circle, I think also. I don't know. I'm going to have to. It's just everything is kind of new to me, dude.
Exactly.
But I know he played on a couple. And I know that, you know, he wasn't able to play every single note on every single, you know, the Sneep came in, you know, was playing some additional guitars. Faulkner took over. It's almost like this album is almost like a passing of from, I mean, Tipton's still there. He's lucid, obviously. His brain is still there. It's just physically. I think Faulkner took the reins a little bit more in the music and the songwriting that usually KK and Tipton would do together.
Yeah.
And, man, he took the reins and seamlessly took them to another level.
But that's what I felt about Firepower. Once I heard that one, I was like, this is pretty good. This new guy, all right, he's no KK Downey, but he's still ripping. And, you know, he's had a few years to gel with these guys. With this album, they like I said, they took it up a notch, man.
Yeah.
This is just really good.
Yeah.
Well, so this is Invincible Shield. This is ripping. Listen to it, man. It just... My ears are almost bleeding from this, dude. This is so killer.
This is great. This opening riff is just...
Yeah.
No, and it's like the production on this is really good. It's not slick. It's not, like, super polished, but everything comes through. Everything is proportioned well. Halford, obviously, his vocals are piercing when he's hitting those falsetto notes, but... There's nobody's being given that like forefront.
Yeah.
It's like an unhomogenized wall, sonic wall of sound that is, I think is just great. Listen to him right here.
That's a great way to explain
this one.
This
one gives me Painkiller vibes.
Okay. Yeah, the aggression on it.
Yeah.
And some of that. Yeah, totally, man. It has that feel on it. But yeah, I'm with you on that, man. I really think they didn't overproduce it, and they just. You know, I think maybe, like I was talking about the past one, Firepower, I thought that was really good. But like I said, This is even better than that.
And Firepower was, it was a pleasant surprise.
Yes, there you go.
I can't remember. Was Nostradamus the album that they came out before that? Or was there one in between? I can't remember.
I want to say there was one in between.
Firepower, I think, is really, really good. It's really good. This one is different. I think it's got a little more, not necessarily variety, but I think it shows more sides of the band. So maybe variety, but more sides of Judas Priest, and it allows them to accentuate more abilities that they have,
right?
Because they're doing things. They're doing all kinds of different things. And that's why, so I had to go through, and I got to find out more about this album. I got to find out. So I'm going through, I'm reading what other people think about this album. And there's some people that did not like this album.
Whoa!
There's people that did not like this album. They were disappointed. They thought, you know, too much slow stuff. I don't know what you guys are expecting. You're never going to get another British Steel. You're never going to get another Painkiller, Ram It Down, Turbo, Screaming for... You're not going to get any of these albums.
Yeah.
It's Judas Priest, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, heavy metal band, at least right up there with Black Sabbath as far as the two most important metal bands of all time. You're not going to get those classic albums again. You'll never get them again. So stop trying to stop trying to think you're going to get British Steel 2, Painkiller 2. You're never going to get those. You're going to be disappointed every time you think that. This is what you're going to get, and this is greatness.
Let me come off that.
I got to open my water.
So this is the mix of both bands, right? So you have Helford and Tipton. We're saying they're in their 70s, past 65, right?
Yep.
So they're 70s. You got Travis. You probably have Richie, who's probably the youngest in the band.
Yep.
And Ian, who's still up there too. So he's 60s, probably. Yeah. So you have a combination of two different time frames of guys, and you know, Tipton, Ian.
Listen
and,
to that dual
Helford.
Guitar. Listen to the dual guitar playing right there.
Hearing them, they're older guys. You know, I'm surprised they're playing this heavy and fast. Then you got Richie and Travis, the drummer, and they keep that beat. They keep the rhythm. They're keeping it almost fresh. This doesn't sound like a 70-year-old band,
no,
dude.
No, it doesn't. And I think these guys have really taken care of themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, in interviews, reading Halford, you know, I'm going to go to the next song quick. Cool?
Yeah.
This song's great, too.
Yeah, right?
Devil in Disguise, track 4. Heavy. Halford, you know, been clean for 38 years. Really takes care of himself. He says he's got his morning regimen. He like goes for like a walk, drinks his tea, does all this kind of stuff. He's really taking care, tries not to talk a lot, keeps his vocals. A lot of these guys aren't doing that. I mean,
at 70, you're saying, right?
Let's pick the two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Okay.
Of people who obviously are taking care of themselves and who aren't. Rob Halford, Vince Neil.
Oh, okay.
Do you think Vince Neil's taking care of himself at all?
No.
Halford is, and it shows, and you can hear the difference. I just went and took the intern to go see Judas Priest in Quiet Riot. I've talked about it before, maybe about 2 years ago now, the last time they toured.
I'm going to correct you. It was Queensryche.
It was Queensryche and Judas Priest.
Correct.
Who did I say?
Quiet Riot.
Okay. Queensryche and Judas Priest, and she loved it.
Yeah.
She loved it, and they sounded amazing. Just as good as what you're hearing here.
Right.
So they're all taking care of themselves, for sure. All five of them. I think they're all getting in line with how Halford's kind of living his life. And I mean they're older now. You can't live the sex, drugs, and rock and roll your whole life and expect to do it forever unless you're Lemmy. It's probably the only one. I mean, he was never a great vocalist anyway. So keep on smoking and drinking your.
He was who he was, and he didn't change. Yeah. And, you know, these guys did. You said for 38 years, Halford's been sober?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a long time, man.
I've been sober 38 minutes. this is great, dude.
Yeah, Devil in Disguise, man. Another good one from these guys.
I was
man.
Really... So, I, like I said, I listened to this album, and I called Greg, and I'm like, dude, have you heard the new Priest? He goes, oh, I saw it pop up. I haven't listened to it. I go, dude... Listen to it. We got to do an episode on it, like, right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was later that day or the next morning, you're like, this shit fucking rips.
It was the next morning.
And we were like, okay, let's do it. So got together, got to do it, man. I've listened to this album 4 or 5 times, and it hasn't gotten... I find something new every time. I find something that I like about it every time. I still haven't kind of figured out what my favorite songs are. Serpent and the King probably started off as like my favorite song. Some of them get, you know, have some chanty stuff going on. I like that stuff, yeah. Group vocals and stuff. This one, what do you think of this one? What do you think of Devil in Disguise?
Same thing. I think it's good. It rips. And it's, to me, it's different than the first 3 songs mm-hmm. that I've heard.
Yeah, the first 3 are heavy, yeah. Fast.
Yeah.
This is a lot different.
And that's it. So, like I said, you got the drummer who's, I don't know.
Yeah, Scott 30s, Travis is just, he's 30s, killing 40s, maybe. He's been with the band for a while. He's been with that for a long while.
Ripping it. Ian still holding the bass pretty steady. He got the new Richie. And like I said, he came in, dude, and he's holding his ground.
Yeah, he's...
on keeping it young and fresh and keeping it heavy with Glenn. I'm glad. And then whenever... Andy comes in and to mostly on live stuff. He's doing a great job himself of holding the band live. And like you said, you saw him live, and they were like, "Dude, they're hot."
When I saw them live, I didn't care that KK and Glenn weren't out there playing with them. That's a tribute to how good these guys are. I was kind of like, "This." I mean, Faulkner's been in the band long enough at this point to where. As much as, okay, it's never going to be KK and Glenn, but he's taken the reins of that spot on stage and that spot in the album and has done a better job than most people thought he was going to do.
Yes.
Probably exceeding expectations.
Yes.
But you can never say, yes, he's KK. No one's ever going to be that combo of guys. They have a brotherhood that no one's ever going to match. But this is really, 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 really close to what they had. And in the songwriting and the magic, it's still there, guys. It's still there.
Perfect. I can't say anything better than that, man. That's spot on. If I was going to try to say something on that, dude. Spot on, man. I love it. Gates of Hell, man. Sounds good. You know, reading up on this, Rob Halford was saying that he was looking at this as a little bit of the PMRC. So, like I said, going back into time, how you never seen some elements of different mm-hmm. albums. And I think he kind of still remembers the PMRC talking about it. And so he kind of talks about, he remembers this as when the PMRC was outside of their concerts and they were all religious groups also mm-hmm. and picketing, you know, like, you guys are the devil, you guys are this. So what are they doing? They're the gates of hell before, you know, they're coming through. Like all those people were going through the gates of hell so they can come in the concert. He said that's how he kind of took this song as looking at it and kind of wrote it at that point of view. Good, you know, a memory, a sign. And this is just ripping on it, man. He's singing great. I love it.
This song has a very British Steel feel to me.
There you go.
It's got
there
that.
You go.
See, British Steel, classic metal album, but it's not. And the reason I bring up usually these two titles, and I will during this, you know, British Steel and Painkiller, same band, but they're really different albums. Painkiller has that hard, aggressive speed, rip your face off, where British Steel has more of a classic metal, new wave of British heavy metal sound to it from 1980. And they're both different, but I love them both. It's like children.
Yeah.
You love them, but you love them differently. This one right here reminds me more of a British Steel style. Which, you know, reading what some of these people are saying, it's like, what are you guys talking about? They're like, oh, and then these low points, and then they slow down. I'm like, yeah, but they did that for a point of entry. Go back and listen to that album. British Steel is not a turned up to 11 album.
Yeah.
It's just a classic heavy metal that's well-written, well-played, and one of the best of all time. And this kind of song reminds me kind of that era where...
So let me say something. Piggyback
especially,
on
sorry, especially this part of the song.
Yeah,
this really reminds
yeah, right?
me of that time.
Let me piggyback on some of your stuff. Technically, they were the same band. The only difference is the drummers. On British Steel, you have one drummer.
Well, I just meant it was still Judas Priest.
No, I understand that, but I mean, if you look at it, one band member, sometimes makes a little difference. And then on a Painkiller, you had another drummer, Travis. And, you know, he's bringing up the beat. Like, I remember that change that they had, the change of the guard. Like, oh, they have a new drummer. really? Is he going to be any good?
And another then, again?
Yeah. and then you hear it, and you're like, oh, this guy elevated them a little. If they needed like a little oomph, he gave it to them. Mm-hmm. So that was it. That's the only difference I wanted to say on that. Yes, pretty much.
Don't ever tell me to piggyback you again, dude. Don't ever piggyback on me.
You sure?
I'm sure. Listen to that, though, right there.
I'm blown away.
We want you guys to hear this. We want you guys to enjoy it. We're going to give you guys some little more time to listen than we usually do. We usually try to fill the whole... Guys, shut up. Give you guys a little time to enjoy this shit.
Yeah,
right
shut
here.
Up, Chris. You're messing up the solo.
I was listening to this with the headphones, and you can hear a lot of times just different layers of the guitar. Like you'll hear, you know, your main riff, but then whoever's playing the riff, you'll hear the other guy behind it just kind of doing some soloing behind it and shit, and you can't really hear. It's not that loud. It's almost behind it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in this album. Sneap, with his producing, did a great job of that. Excellent job of producing. Let's go to the next song.
All right.
Crown of Horns. Now, I believe this was... I'm going to have to look now. Now I got to look because I don't know. This was... So, what did we have? Panic Attack was first song released back in October of 2023. Crown of Horns, which is the song we're listening to now, the 19th of January.
Okay.
And then Serpent and the King, which is track two, was released on the 22nd of February. So less than a month ago, just a few weeks ago. Where are we at now? What song we're on? Crown of Horns. Love it, dude.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, man. Like he says, I hope everybody takes a second. Even all the Heshers out there who, you know, don't really follow Priest or just, you know, just want to hear him in concert. Check this out. This is really good. All you young guys, this is heavy metal at its best, man. In a modern sound, in a modern feel. This really kicks ass.
You know, almost kind of, this is just me. I don't know, because I haven't really listened to him enough and really, like, what's he saying? I don't have that kind of time. You know what this song kind of reminds me of? I'm not necessarily saying Satan or the devil, but maybe because of what I said, maybe a religious aspect. It's like,
yes.
This kind of reminds me, because it says, like, heavy is the crown of horns, you know, something like that. In the song, it makes me think of like somebody that's evil, but he's the whole like weight of everything he's been doing is heavy on him, and he wants to break free of that. He wants so badly to maybe be even a good person, but because the crown of horns weighs so heavy, and you know, they talk about that during the song, and it really kind of, for me, thinking that's what the song might be about, kind of, oh. When you know kind of when you've got an idea of, in your mind of what a song is about or what it means to you, it makes it a little better. And this song really, after I listened to it a couple of times, I like it better than the first time I heard it, for sure.
Okay, great. I you know, when you were sending your reading reviews on somebody else, now this song isn't as heavy as the four we heard previously, but it's still good. There's still something about it. His voice... is still there, and he's telling a good, he's telling a good story. So I'm loving it. I think this is a great song too.
Yep.
I dig it.
Listen to it right here. That's it right there. These guys are,
right?
So these guys are supposed to tour off of this album. I think they're already touring right now. We gotta go. That's just it.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I wanna go. I don't know if I wanna see
people. That's what he's saying right now. He's gonna go.
So I got the set list for, they had a concert a couple days ago. You wanna check it out?
I do. However, when the solo starts, you gotta shut your lips. Go ahead. Start.
Oh, all right, man.
I'll just give you this.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Oh, so this is a set list from March 11th, 2024.
Okay.
Start off with Panic Attack. This is the first song.
And you know, I heard this when I was listening to it with the intern, I said, this song would be great. I could see them opening a show with this.
Yeah.
Great opener, dude.
Yeah,
go ahead. Sorry.
So first song,
and I will probably interrupt you after every song.
That's fine. And it was a live debut. So this is the first time they played it live, and they debuted it live. Second song, Rapid Fire. Great.
You know what? Listen to that,
shut
dude.
Shut up and listen. I'm almost feeling a groove in this song.
Listen to that. Wow. Metal is not dead, my friend. Not by a long shot. That's what I'm talking about. And you know what? Panic Attack? When the first time I heard it, the first thing that popped into my mind was Rapid Fire.
Okay.
Just like...
Yeah.
Like, it, not so, like, exactly the same, but similar.
Similar.
Okay, go ahead. What was it? Similar. So Rapid Fire was track two.
Track two.
They played.
Another Thing Coming.
Okay.
Right?
Classic.
Metal Gods.
I love that song, and I don't know if that's... Has that always been a part... They played it when I saw them. Has that always been a part of their set list?
Yes.
I love that song, dude. It's usually part of an encore. It's usually like
maybe.
An encore.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Lightning Strikes. Okay. From Firepower, I think.
Okay.
Love Bites from Turbo. And this is the first time they played it since 2015.
That's a song.
I like
right
that
there.
Song. Breaking the Law, of course. And then they have...
I'm going to change the song. Hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, well, Breaking the Law. Then we had Saints in Hell, which is the first time they played it since 2019. I'm not sure what album that one's from. Then the next one, which is called Trial by Fire. They did a live debut on that one.
Which is from the new album. Invincible Shield.
Then Turbo Lover.
I love that song.
Right?
Dude.
I do too.
I don't care what anybody says.
And then they play Invincible Shield. So now you're halfway through your set playing Invincible
and
Shield.
And you know what? Just to cut... I've never cut you off before, and I never will again, but I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah.
I love it. I love touring off this album that obviously kicks ass.
Yeah.
And they've already got... three songs,
yeah,
right. Panic Attack, Invincible Shield,
and Tribal
Fire. And is Serpent and the King on the set list?
No,
they should have thrown that in there too. But
well, there's a chance to try different things.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to see what people like. But
what's out?
I'm loving that they're throwing in, especially when the album is as good as this one is. When you're throwing new songs,
yeah,
I don't think fans are gonna be disappointed. I really don't.
No, I don't think so.
And by the way, this is track 7. As God Is My Witness.
Nice. Okay, so last one I said was Trial by Fire, Turbo Lover, Invincible Shield, Beyond the Realms of Death. Wow. Victim of Changes.
Okay.
Screaming for Vengeance.
There we go.
The Green Monolition with a two-pronged crown.
Oh,
and Painkiller.
Oh, they're doing cover songs now.
Yeah. And Painkiller, and that ends the set. Right? And then as the encore.
Dude,
right?
I cannot believe. Do I even need to complete the sentence? I cannot believe Halford is still able to sing that song, Painkiller, dude.
Right?
I cannot believe it. And okay, I don't know. I don't think he uses backing tracks. Do you think he does?
No.
Which makes it even more unbelievable. And I love that he still. At his age, explores that territory. Some people are scared to do it. Def Leppard, they're backing track mania. They had to rename their album Pyromania to Backtrack Mania. They use a lot of backing tracks, obviously. But I'm so glad that Halford is still, even on the album, he's exploring the upper echelons of his vocal range.
Right.
And even at the live shows, I mean, fucking Painkiller. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, Painkiller. Okay, then they came out for the encore. Three song encore?
Two song. Hold on.
Living After Midnight.
No, Hellbent for Leather, then Living After Midnight.
Comes out on the motorcycle. Hellbent
for
Leather. Vroom, vroom. You know, I read a story he was telling about that. That started out when he first was doing it. He would ask somebody out in the parking lot before the show if he could ride their motorcycle out on the stage.
Oh, no way.
And that's kind of how that element became. But here's the thing. Motorcycles are really a great analogy for Judas Priest. It's shiny. It's leather. It's loud. It's annoying. It blows your ear. It's all those things that are a great, and also to people that don't like it, pisses them off, which is exactly what Judas Priest does. To the fan, there's nothing they can do wrong. People that don't like the Priest, it annoys the hell out of them, and that's the same thing a Harley Davidson motorcycle, Indian motorcycle, whatever you're going to take up there does. And it's a great symbol for the band and fits them well, you know? Their right. whole look and image. I love it. They still do it. Yeah. I love it, man.
You got to bring me the next song?
Dude.
Yeah, right,
fucking
dude.
Halford. And this is one of the songs that you said that they played, Trial by Fire.
Yeah, which Halford wrote because he saw a documentary on the Salem witch trials, and he inspired him to write, you know, Trial by Fire.
Second track that they released off of this, 17th of November, 2023.
It has that almost feel of like, you know, you can hear like the bells.
The ambiance, we're creating an ambiance. We're creating we're creating a scene.
Yes.
Like people, now that I know what's inspired it, I see people like in cleric robes walking out with an like black and ominous, and then maybe fire coming out from behind them. And I just, it's a picture I see in my mind, dude. Should be making videos, dude.
We should, Chris.
I should be making some music videos. I just don't have the time. I don't have the time, dude. I barely can shoehorn this in. Classic sounding right here, dude. I love it, dude.
Any bands that need us to do a video for you, you let us know.
Yeah.
Big Talk Podcast, yes. Chris and Craig. We will direct your video and write it for you.
We have three cameras.
And two phones.
Three cameras, two phones. Couple lights. Let's go.
And a couple of bikes.
Yeah, a couple of bikes. Let's go. We got a dog. Just strap a camera to the dog. Let him run around. He doesn't run around, dude. You got a bunch of snoring footage.
I'm going to say he'll walk underneath you.
Here's something I found very interesting. So this album came out 2 days earlier in Japan? 2 days earlier in Japan.
Yes.
The charting info for Japan is already up.
Oh,
okay,
really?
Full disclosure, guys. The album was released on the 8th. We're recording this on the 14th. So that's why we don't have the U.S. information up, but we have Japan charting information. So we want to sound like we don't know what we're doing. Do we?
Since we love Japan.
Japan. Number 7.
Nice.
Came in at number 7. Digital albums in Japan, number 6. And hot albums, number 6. It's like the Billboard of Japan, number 6. Here's something else I found interesting. There's a website called Rate Your Music. It's fairly popular. People go in there, vote what albums they like, up or down, shit like that. Invincible Shield has taken over the number one spot.
Yeah.
On that chart. And it's not like a new chart. These are albums that have been out all year. This is 2024. It's the number one rated album on their website. And here's the third thing that I found very, very interesting. They are right now in the UK set to make their highest charting album of their career. Right now they're at number 2 behind Ariana Grande. They're probably not going to supplant her. Let's just be realistic. She's far more popular with the masses.
Okay.
The eye-rolling masses. Even if they're number 3, it's still going to be their highest charting. I believe British Steel was number 4.
Wow.
So they're set to make their highest charting spot in the history of the band. Fucking Judas Priest,
it's
dude.
It's worth it, man. I mean, you know,
19th studio
album. Oh, yeah, we haven't brought that up yet.
Almost 50 years to the date. 50 years from their debut album.
Yeah. 19.
Do you see how big? Dude, this is this is
huge.
Amazing stuff. This is crazy. Yeah. 50 years. 19 albums. They got to go for 20. Let's go. Let's go to the next song.
Yeah, they got to go for 20. You got one more? Nice. Escape from Reality.
Yeah.
Starting off good. It looks like Glenn Tipton. You know, came with some heavy riffs, man.
This has a little bit more of a current sound to it.
Yes.
This is not as classic. It's a little newer. And not even necessarily Judas Priest, but they're Judas Priestifying it. Listen, this is the one song I was waiting for this. You really get some Ian Hale bass.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He doesn't get a lot of He's rhythm section. He's not out there doing bass solos. That's not his thing.
Yeah.
That's not Judas Priest's things. Let's not force it. Right there, you get a little Ian Hill right there in the background, a little bass. I love it. I love it. Headphones. You won't hear it without the headphones, guys.
Yeah. You're right. And it goes and it brings in a different element for Judas Priest, right? He doesn't usually get his time, and they're doing it. But they're not changing the formula. They're just adding, they're letting someone shine or it is.
Listen to that.
Next of it. Yeah. Right?
If you're not, like, bobbing your head to this right now, you're dead. You are dead.
Wow. You know, this is a little more slower tempo, maybe,
bass,
that those guys.
Bass.
But it's still Judas Priest. The sound, dude. Listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not adding acoustic
guitar. You got anything
guitar
on this song? I really don't. Probably just one that's maybe escaping the things that are going on around you. Maybe you can't deal and you just need a break.
Actually,
I don't know.
I was reading up on it, and he kind of had almost a Back to the Future element singing, where he was saying they wanted to fix things in the past. Like, mm-hmm. if you can go back in time and fix one or two things, what would you fix? What would you do different? You know? I don't know. To me, there was a lot
I
would have
started the podcast 10 years ago.
With somebody else, probably, you son of a bitch.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but we all, you know, we've seen movies and you read books of timeline. You fix one timeline, it's not the future of what it is today.
So. I wouldn't change anything. I'm happy right where I'm at. I wouldn't change anything. At least not in my life.
Knowing my life wouldn't be what it is today, I don't know if I would change anything. Not that I'm super happy with it, but I don't know what I would change. Because I don't want one thing to go left and something.
You never know, dude.
Yeah.
You never know.
Never know.
That's quite a, like, conversation, dude. That's something. Like, if you change one thing, nothing will ever be the same.
Yeah.
And so how many other things are going to change from that one change?
But you remember
that, though.
But I remember this.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I'm with you on that, man. I'm with you on the structure of this song. I'm still feeling both the guys doing dual guitar
See,
work.
Right here? Here's where you got two of them playing.
Yeah.
Not synced up. You got right there that, you know, a little, I don't know how many measures. I don't do music, but they were both had a little solo thing coming on, but they were separate. They were different. Had a nice little layering there, one on top of the other. It's good stuff right there, dude. Okay. Let's go to the next song.
Sounds good.
Sons of Thunder, track 10.
You know what? This reminded me of like a Hellbent for Leather, in the sense of you're on the bike, you're riding, you're...
Mm-hmm.
Let's get on the bike and ride, or that kind of stuff. On this feel, it sounds like, you know, like you talked about earlier with the motorcycle being loud as thunder. This song happens to be titled "Sons of Thunder." Could be.
I think you're exactly right.
Right.
I think it's, you know, Hellbent for Leather Part Two. It's same kind of concept of a song, you know.
Yeah.
Riding it. Ride, let's ride all night. Sons of Thunder, hold fast, aim for a better life. Make your heart steer, blah, blah, blah. All these motorcycle kind of analogies in this song and phrasing, it's obvious. I love it. And they're just using that to talk about maybe some other things in life, but that's what it is. Is it out riding?
And you were saying you can even hear them, the background vocals. And Priest usually doesn't do a lot of background vocals or chanting. You know, like we've talked about, you know, you'll hear the on point. Like we talked about Avenged Sevenfold, they felt they could do better on City of Evil on the background, where we thought it was good. They thought they could do better. With Priest, you never hear a lot of background singing. So who the hell is background singing?
Yeah.
You know, they don't have backup dancers like Vince Neil. They have, you know.
What were they called? The
Nasty Habits?
Nasty Habits or Filthy Habits or something like that. They're the lead singers now.
Every time I see them, I'm so disappointed that they have that. Whatever. Let's not get off the subject. Let's not get into the Priest.
You know, one thing I want to talk about. You know, we can go to the next song. Are you good here?
Yes.
Let's go. Hold on. There we go. Uh-oh. I got caught up with another solo. I can't.
Yeah, I no, I'm with you, man.
Can't change it to another solo. Listen to that.
Come on, everybody. We want you to listen to it.
Yeah.
Get your headphones, man. Yeah. Tweet back to us. Email us. Text us. Tell us you're right on point, Greg and Chris, or you guys suck. You don't know what you're talking about. Either one, we want to hear it.
Yeah. You can thumb us up to thumb us down. I don't care. All right, let's go to the next song. Track 11, Giants in the Sky. And yes, guys, we are doing the deluxe edition. Normally, there are two editions. Yes. I don't know why anybody would get not deluxe. This is the last song on the regular edition. Deluxe has three more songs. We're doing them all, 14 tracks total. This is track 11, Giants in the Sky. I read that this is kind of a tribute song. Did you hear anything about that? To Ronnie James Dio and Lemmy.
And Lemmy, yeah.
And at first I was trying to... decide what the song was about. And remember I talked about earlier how I thought this was really a religious theme and kind of a good versus evil. And the giants in the sky were like, I don't know, like angels or people who fell during battle. They were in heaven and our heroes and our giants are in the sky. And it can still mean that to me in the context of this album, but written as a tribute to Ronnie James Dio and Lemmy, who are giants in the sky. I mean,
when you talk about Ronnie James Dio or Lemmy, you think, you know, these guys are heavy metal legends, rock and roll legends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nowadays when you think of a legend, you're thinking, you're looking up in the sky, and that's what he's looking. You're right. He's looking up and seeing the giant in the sky, which is probably Ronnie and Lemmy themselves and anybody else who's passed away, who's made an example of.
Which reminds me, let me just throw something out there. I did see something online about the Ronnie James Dio concert that's going to be happening for his charity, the Ronnie James Dio Foundation, Cancer Foundation. The only person I remember that's playing is Lita Ford. I can't remember who else is playing. It's going to be here in LA somewhere. I can't remember exactly where. Just guys, go Google it. I think if we can, maybe we'll go check it out. I'm not really sure when it is. But maybe we'll see some of you guys there. I'm not sure. We'll let you guys know.
Don't they always do like a bowling? Like the.
They used to do bowling, all that kind of stuff. I did see that. But they're going to do a concert, do a show. I don't know if they're going to do anything else peripheral from that. But they're also going to have like a all-star band kind of getting together. And who knows, dude? I mean, it's LA. I mean, if this thing was in like Denver, we may not know who you're going to get. But this is LA. Yeah. You're going to get anybody. You never know. You're not going to get Halford. He lives in Arizona. But
I don't know. Maybe Halford will come down. He's on tour.
He'll come down like this.
Ooh. I thought he was going to come on with his motorcycle. Man.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, this is good stuff right here, dude. Great. I mean, as far as like what the regular standard version, great. This is a great closing track.
Oh, definitely,
great opener,
right?
Great bookends here. Giants in the Sky at the end and Panic Attack as track one. Sorry, I forgot the name of it. I don't know the album that well yet.
Yeah, definitely.
Good stuff. Listen, this is a little breakdown. There ain't nothing wrong with this, guys. It's
and you know, this is the first time I want to say in the past 11 songs that we heard something like this.
I haven't heard anything like this on this whole album.
Yeah. So these bastards that are saying it's too slow or this and that. Really? Why don't you take a listen to the music and see what it is?
Yeah.
Take it as a whole, not individuals.
And Richie, in a lot of his interviews, he's catching a lot of shit, and I'm sure you saw this also. He used the word progressive. You know, there's some progressive stuff on here. And he didn't mean it like we're making a Rush album or Dream Theater or something like that. It was more like you're not going to get your basic, you know, verse, chorus, guitar solo, chorus, out. You're going to get other stuff in here, and that's kind of what's going on in a lot of these songs is you get verse, chorus, solo, chorus, verse. You know, you get all different ways that they're constructing these songs, which keeps you on your toes a little bit and gives it a lot of depth in each song within itself. I love it. Listen to this shit.
Killer.
Let's go.
All right. All right. So this is the first of the bonus tracks. There's three of them, and it's called Fight of Your Life. You know, from the 11 songs we heard, okay, maybe there's a little bit slow on, you know, on the previous song, Giants in the Sky, but hey, man, it's still ripping, still good, still kicking ass.
Yeah. I don't know why they made these as bonus tracks. One thing I can think of is it's a little bit different than some of the stuff we just heard. But then you hear this and you're like, why wasn't this on the album, dude? I mean, come on.
Right? Maybe it's to entice people to go get the album, go buy it. Because if you try to buy it a year from now, you may not get these three songs.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not thinking these at all throwaway songs.
No.
I'm loving it.
No.
Halford's inspiration for one of this was, he said he started to watch MMA boxing, even wrestling, and he's not a sports guy, but he was like, these guys and girls, they fight for their life. Every time they're out there, they're athletic. They're doing this, they're that. They're in a fight for their life every time they step into a ring, they step into an octagon. You step onto the field, whether it's baseball, you know, a court, basketball, or you know, football, or even soccer, if you want to say it that way.
Just in case nobody knows, let's go over the members of the band.
All right.
We got Rob Halford on vocals, Glenn Tipton on guitar. We have Richie Faulkner on guitars, Ian Hill on bass, and Scott Travis on drums.
Woo!
Production, Andy Sneap, of course, who's also the touring guitarist, and he does additional guitars. He did mastering, mixing, and engineering, with Mark Grittens also doing some mixing as well. Just wanted to get that all out there.
That's killer, dude. But you want to take me to the next song, and then you can do some business, because we don't want to forget about that.
Yeah, let's go.
After the solo.
Yeah, after the solo.
After the solo.
Let's talk about the album cover. The album cover is, I like it.
I do too.
A great use of, you know, orange. It's like a shield coming out. Looks like a blast coming behind. It's got different colors, purple, red, coming out from behind it. Matt Wilkinson was the artist for this cover. How many album covers did he do for Priest?
If I said there are 19 out there, I would probably, he's done more than half.
Ram It Down. You know what? Let's go to the next song.
All right.
Let's go to the next song.
Sounds good.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Vicious Circle track. What are we on? 13. Okay, let's go. Ram It Down, Painkiller, Jugulator, Angel of Retribution, Nostradamus, Redeemer of Souls, and Invincible Shield. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So almost half. I mean, obviously.
Still, almost. Yeah. Doing. I mean, being picked again to do their album cover, like, these guys really like it, man. I like it. You know what? Priest has always had a theme on their album covers, whether it's machines or it's just showing something larger than life. And they're continuing that. This is very, very classic. Very cool.
This song is killer.
Where you're getting me. I mean,
this song is just thunder rolling, dude.
There you go.
You,
wow,
dude.
I like that, man.
Pounding. I love it. Love it, dude. Love it.
Yeah, it's
just
killer.
Just a way of writing that they have is just...
It has a good riff and a good feel on this, man.
I like how they, you know, it almost like they change speeds.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's still at the same count, but it's like they're changing the rhythm. They're changing the way they're playing with inverse. I love it, dude. It's Judas Priest, dude. It's Judas Priest.
Judas Priest.
So how many times do you think you've listened to this album so far in the few days?
Six.
Six? I would say I've probably listened to it about that many times, too. I've only a couple times I've gotten a beginning to end listen. You know, because I'm like, I get to the gym, I'm listening to it. Maybe a car ride to work. Yeah. Maybe I'm doing some shit and I got it on my phone playing. You know, doing this, doing that. You know, driving with the intern somewhere. And she's like, this is good stuff. She was loving it, dude. She's loving it. You ready to go to the last song? Oh, guitar solo.
All right, how about business then?
All right, let's talk about business, guys. This is the Big Talk Podcast with Chris and Greg, and you can get a hold of us, see us, and love us everywhere on the interwebs, including TikTok and Instagram, at BigTalkCG.podcast. That's on TikTok and Instagram. YouTube, the Big Talk Podcast with Chris and Greg. That's Greg with three Gs, one in the front, two in the back. You can also find us on Facebook and X. /Twitter/ the home of Elon Musk. Hey guys, check us out, man. You know, all of our episodes now are being put up on YouTube. You can see us, you can comment what you like, what you don't like. You know, we got a lot of shorts going up there, a lot of stuff. You guys can see a lot of information. You can kind of see previews of our episodes, all that kind of stuff. Just join the conversation, you know? It's a nation that is all of us together, the Big Talk Nation. It is a democracy.
Hell yeah.
This is the last track, The Lodger.
I like the way that we finished Vicious Circle and it kind of went into The Lodger. Mm-hmm. And if this is the way, I mean, we talked about the other song of being a closer on Giants in the Sky, but this is actually a good one too on how it's ending. So if this is how that closes. This is... fucking killer.
Yeah, so this is kind of what, for me, tied the bow on the whole thing I've been saying about the album. Okay. The whole, like, good versus evil, whatever. And this is, to me, this is who lost. This was the guy that lost the battle, the side that lost. What does he say? Vengeance is mine, and he will be back. With a vengeance,
yeah.
to defeat or get his vengeance on those that have defeated him. Whether or not this is the good side or the bad side, I don't know. But somebody's coming back to do some crazy shit.
There you go.
And that's what I like this song. And I kind of like the fact in that context that it's at the slower speed.
Okay.
It's somebody contemplating what has happened to me, what is going on, kind of reflecting, coming to the conclusion that I will inflict my vengeance on my enemies. And I love it.
Sounds good, man. I mean, I, as you say it and talk about it, you're right. Being vengeance, you kind of like, you just don't say it. You got to plan it out. Okay, yeah. If you want it, you got me. Now I'm going to put vengeance. And vengeance is mine. And I have to figure it's not just walk up to you. Vengeance is mine.
Yeah.
Plan it out, baby.
I love it. Hey, guys. Invincible Shield, Judas Priest's brand new album just came out less than a week ago. You guys got to go check it out. Let us know what you guys think about it.
Yeah.
Take a listen. I think it's great. And they have... maybe with the exception of Nostradamus, which is a little departure from normal Judas Priest. I love this album. It sticks right with what they do. They didn't try to get fancy. They didn't try to change a whole lot. Just tweaked it here a little bit, maybe tweaked it here a little bit, but it's all in that Judas Priest world, and I love it, and I don't have anything bad to say about it. At least until I listen to it for the 20th time, maybe I'll have something. But right now, nothing. Nothing bad. That's all I got to say, man. That's it. That's it for me, baby. All right,
man. All right, Nation, this is Greg from the Big Talk Podcast with Chris and Greg. See ya! Woo! Double horns.